Well, good morning, church. It is a good day to be together. It's a great day to be alive. Amen. Amen. And it's a great day to be on mission for God and with God. And can I just say, let's enjoy this weather right now. Because there is coming a day, you know this, where it's going to get cold and rainy and snowy, and we're going to wish we had the weekend that we are having right now. And so thankful to be with you this morning. I have the great privilege of being able to come in and give you at least an update on what is going on with Equip Ministries International. David mentioned we're in 11 countries. Just on Friday, we celebrated 5 years with Equip Ministries International. It's our 5th year anniversary. Some of you are like, I don't even know this guy, and I'm clapping. And so it has been incredible. We started out in 2 countries in 2018, Guatemala and Cambodia. And today, as mentioned, we're in 11 countries. What do? We train overseas pastors and church leaders that have very little Bible training and resources. It is always going on. It is always a need. And so we are grateful that we're able to do that. We just took a team this last June to Germany. There were 17 people that went to Germany where we did a sports outreach, also evangelism that we're very much involved in. And there were 150 high school and college students that came to that soccer camp, and many of them gave their life to Christ for the very first time. And so I'm thankful for that. So we have the great privilege of being able to go and to share and to equip. And you said, well, why? Why do you train? Why do we equip pastors? Because if we're not doing that, if we're not helping them to rightly divide the word of truth, false teaching will come into the church. And when you see pastors that are trained and pastors that are getting the right resources and their churches are growing for the right reason, it is a reason to rejoice. And so we're grateful that we can share just a little bit today of what is going on. And we also praise the Lord that we can open up the scriptures. We live in crazy times, amen? And we still have the word of God. We still have truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God remains forever. And so we live in a culture right now where there is no standard of righteousness, no standard of accountability, no standard of right and wrong. Do your own thing. We are back in the book of Judges where they were doing what was right in their own eyes. And yet Bridge Bible Church can make a difference in the lives of people outside of this church. Your life has changed because of Christ, and someone else's life can change because you can share it with them. So a couple pictures this morning of some places we've been, at least this year. We continue to keep traveling. These are pictures from Thailand that we were in February. Honduras, I was with Pastor Dave. Does an incredible job. Praise God for your pastor. I am so thankful for your pastor. And this other picture was taken just in May. We are in villages in Guatemala where pastors are coming 2 to 3 hours walking to come to an Equip training. And we are humbled by that. And so again, we are training overseas pastors and church leaders and giving them resources. Recently, we just gave resources to 120 pastors in Pakistan. And they keep saying, oh, Craig, we want you to come to Pakistan. We want you to come to Pakistan. And my wife says, if you go to Pakistan, I'm going to Pakistan. And she knows I will not put her in harm's way. So we probably won't be going to Pakistan. But we sent some resources, and those pastors rejoiced because they do not get that. You think about today, there are churches on every corner. There are Bible colleges all around. There are seminaries that are available. But when you go overseas, you do not get that. You do not get that Bible training. And so many of these pastors are so grateful to be able to have that training and to be able to receive those resources. I want to just thank also Brett Tippy. Where are you, Brett? I just saw you. Brett took, 5 people to Honduras in, was it June? July. Let me just say this. Before you breathe your last, go on a short-term missions. It will change your life. It will change your perspective. You will walk away from a missions trip saying, why did I not do this earlier? Why did I not see the need that is available worldwide? And you will come into a greater and more incredible walk with Christ than ever before. And so we are in 11 countries and you have been with us every step of the way. And we just want to say thank you so much for praying for us, for sending us, for giving us the great privilege. You don't hear very much anymore someone saying, I have the best job in the world. I have the best job in the world. I don't even see it as a job. I'm so thankful to be able to do what I do and for many people that help us as well. And so thank you so much for standing by us as we commit to stepping out into the harvest field for the Lord. And when you go to the table at the end, would you pick up a small Equip sticker? They're free, okay? Go and take it, put it someplace, and when you see it, just pray for us. Pray for what's going on. I leave next Sunday to go to the Dominican Republic, where there will be 120 pastors from the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And Haiti is going through a very difficult time right now. And the pastors are longing to come in and be ministered to. And we have an opportunity in early October to go to Nepal for 18 days. And so we're not climbing Mount Everest, but we are going to Nepal and we'll be doing multiple trainings with many pastors that have not had this opportunity before. So take a sticker and pray for us if you would. So not sure what you think of or what comes to mind when you hear the word regrets. Sometimes when we hear the word regrets, we think of things that happened in our past that we're ashamed of, or we think, oh, I should have done things differently. Maybe you think of some place you should have gone or shouldn't have gone that you have regrets. When I think of regrets, I think of a commercial that I saw about 3 years ago. Maybe you've seen this commercial. It's a commercial of a girl. She is in a tattoo shop. She is giving this big biker guy a tattoo, but in the process, she is eating a Milky Way candy bar. And she is so focused on the Milky Way candy bar and how good it tastes that she is putting a tattoo on this big biker. And it's supposed to say, no regrets, and instead it says, no regrets. And at the end, the biker guy goes, no regrets. It's a great commercial if you haven't seen it. All that to say that the point being is we can become so focused with something in our life that it can flow into other areas of our life. And sometimes that's good, but a lot of times it's not. And I want to speak to you this morning about focusing on the right things, focusing on the eternal things. Church, there is a tendency even for us to focus on the wrong things, to get so caught up in the temporary, to get so caught up in the here and now, to get so caught up in my schedule and my bank account and my deadlines that I completely forget what is most important, what will last for eternity. So that we can live without regrets or regrets in our life. I want to talk to you this morning about being involved and the involvement of embracing the opportunities that come our way. Opportunities come our way every single day. Would you say the word opportunities with me? Opportunities. Again, opportunities. The Spanish word is oportunidades. Oportunidades, opportunities. Every day is an opportunity for you and I. Whether you are in school, whether you are in work, whether you are retired, every day is an opportunity. Opportunities to learn, opportunities to grow, opportunities to advance. We have opportunities to go places, to do things, to see people. Opportunities are available to you and I every single day. Jesus said, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Friends, I've never been to Jerusalem, never been to Judea or Samaria, but I have stepped foot in some of the most uttermost parts of the world. And whether that is Guatemala, whether that is Moldova, whether that is Nicaragua, or whether that is ministering to your neighbor across the street. Opportunities stand before us every single day. Every day can be a memory maker of embracing an opportunity that comes our way. Now, follow me this morning, and you see it on the slide. There are missed opportunities, agree? And then there are opportunities you don't want to miss. Pastor Dave uses this phrase. He got it from me, and I'm sure I got it from someone else. But there are missed opportunities, and then there are opportunities you don't want to miss. Have you ever been invited someplace to go somewhere, to do something, to see someone, and you find yourself saying, no, I don't think I'm going to go, only for the next day everyone is talking about it. They're saying how it was life-changing. There's never been a more incredible time. Oh, you should have been there. Oh, you should have been involved. And we kick ourselves for not stepping out and taking the opportunity. This happened to me in May. You'll see a picture here. This is a maximum security prison. We are in Guatemala. We have been training for 6 days straight, six different villages we go to every single day. We are waking up and we are leaving the place that we're at 5:30 in the morning, and we are getting back at 5:30 at night. And we are tired. And it is on the last day of training we are asked, would you be interested in going to a maximum security prison? And I said, you mean to stay or to visit? Because that determines the opportunity. And they said, oh no, we would love for you to come in. Zacapa, Guatemala, 900 inmates. They said, no one has visited this prison since before COVID. Would you be interested in coming in and sharing the good news with these men? And I almost said no. I was so tired. I was just dragging. And yet here was an opportunity to share the good news of Christ. And so I said, yes, I guess we will go. And so we pull up to the front of this maximum security prison. No phones, no keys, nothing sharp, nothing in your pockets. All we have is the sword of the Spirit, which is good enough. And we walk in. And they put two stamps here, one black, the other one you cannot see, to identify that you are not an inmate. I'm 6'4". Most of the people in Guatemala are about this height. I think they would know that I'm not an inmate. And we have the chaplain with us, and we are walking to the cell block where many of these prisoners are. And we, just before we get to that door, that metal door that's going to slide open, my translator says, oh man, I'm really nervous. And I thought, I was fine until you just said that. And that door opened, and I don't know what I was expecting, but not one person was in their cell. They were all in the hallway. And we have to walk through the hallway. And that hallway was from here to back in the other room back there. We're talking about hardened criminals, drug cartel, rapists, murderers. The most vile individuals on the earth are in that prison. And my heart, I would love to tell you that I was so confident. I would love to tell you that I just marched by them and buenas tardes. Boom, 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 boom. My heart was pounding. And it is so hot. It is so hot. 900 inmates, 220 beds. You do the math. The rest of them sleep anywhere they can. And we walked into a chapel area, and there was no one there. And I thought, oh. And all of a sudden, they start coming. And that place is packed full of inmates. I was told by the translator, the one thing you do not want to say is, it's so good to have you here today. You do not want to say that. And we shared the gospel with them, the good news of Jesus Christ. And there were so many prisoners that day that received Christ. So many that day. I almost missed that opportunity. I almost missed the opportunity to step in and to be a part of the harvest that God is calling all of us to be a part of. I think you would agree that opportunities can define us and opportunities to stretch us. And certainly opportunities can change our heart from the inside out. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he has prepared in advance for us to do." We're his greatest craftsmanship. We're his greatest poetry. We're his greatest piece of art. We are. You are. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he has prepared in advance for us to do." I truly believe that we miss out on some of the most wonderful opportunities to build and grow the kingdom of God because we are so focused on us, so focused on my things. What motivates you to get up every day of every week of every month throughout every year and do something that will not only make an impact for today, but will make an impact for eternity? I want to challenge us this morning as we open up the scriptures in a moment to say, I want to embrace the opportunities that are before me right here and right now because they're available to us. But I also want to be open and available to those doors that God will open in the future. Of what would he have me do that will matter for eternity? Those are the opportunities that we need to embrace. There was a British missionary named C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd said, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Can we say that together? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So I want us to look at a familiar passage this morning, but I want us to see it from a new perspective, or at least a new set of eyes, of how we can embrace the opportunities that God brings our way as it pertains to embracing those opportunities without regrets. Meet me this morning in Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 35 to 38. Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38. As we live out this truth, and I hope you desire and long to live out the truth, only one life will soon be passed. James tells us our life is like a mist, like a vapor. We are not promised tomorrow. Friends, we're not even promised all of today. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will, tell me, last. Will last. Should we not embrace those things? Should we not? Yes, I know we have things going on in our life and there's responsibilities and obligations, but what is it in your life that will last and the opportunities that you are embracing? Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" The first thing that we see in this short passage is Jesus was doing the work of the Father. Jesus was always doing the work of the Father. Jesus never did the work of the world. He never did the work of the flesh. He always was doing the work of the Father. And it tells us in this passage that he was teaching, he was preaching, he was healing, he is sharing the gospel, he is sharing the good news. Why? Because Jesus is the good news. And he is on the move, and he is embracing the opportunity that the Father is giving him. We see in this passage that Jesus is going from city to city, town to town, and village to village, which tells me this: there is no town, there is no city, there is no village too big or too small that the love of Christ cannot reach. Jesus encountered, if you remember, as Jesus encountered people, physical needs, spiritual needs. Many people came to Jesus that had physical needs, but every person that he encountered had spiritual needs. And as Jesus' popularity grew, so did the crowds, and the leaders of the day did not know what to do about that. They did not know what to do with Jesus because of his popularity. And instead of embracing that, they push back on it. His popularity begins to grow. And I think this is significant because we see Jesus' loyalty and dedication to the Father in his words and in his deeds. And friends, this is a time for us to just ask this question individually. Are we doing the work of the Father? Are we truly doing the work of the Father? The work of the Father, and I don't mean to step on any toes, but the work of the Father is not just being here on a Sunday morning. The work of the Father is out there, where people are in desperate need to hear truth today. And if the church is silent, how will they ever know the truth? Are we doing the work of the Father? Because there were many religious leaders then, and there are many religious leaders now, that praise the Father with their lips, but they failed in praising the Father with their life. It appears here that there is a wide swath of people who needed to be touched by the love of Jesus and still need touch today. So let's do a little bit of math for a moment. We'll say that there are 200 people in here this morning. If we shared the gospel just once a week for 52 weeks, this is why I need a calculator. 200 people times 52, in 1 year, you would impact 10,400 people just from in here. Which begs the question, are we doing the work of the Father? Now, that's nothing that we would brag about and go, listen, Bridge Bible Church shared the gospel with 10,400 people. But what if we did? What if we said every week, I'm going to be intentional in doing the work of the Father, and I'm going to share the gospel in my school. I'm going to share the gospel in my workplace. I'm going to share the gospel somehow, some way. Lord, you open up those doors, and I will step in to that opportunity. He was doing the work of the Father. But there's a second thing that we see here in verse 36. Jesus has a heart of compassion for those who are, it tells us, harassed and helpless. If you Google those two words, helpless and harassed, here are the words that would come up: distraught, worried, pressured, stressed, suffering, dejected, broken, confused, lost. That sounds like our culture today, where the key word today is anxiety. People are stressed. You clap your hands and you walk right through a wall. Jesus sees the need of these people, and he has compassion for them. These people were like from the island of misfit toys. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. And we live in a culture right now that is the case as well. What is popular in our culture today will not be popular tomorrow. And I don't mean to say this to be rude, but I don't care about our culture today. I care about what Christ is doing in our culture. Because our culture will always be changing, and yet there will always be those that are helpless and harassed. There will always be those. And maybe you would raise your hand and go, man, I'm so stressed right now. I'm distraught. I'm worried. I'm lost. And there's a whole list. Jesus has a deep, everybody say deep, deep, a deep compassion for the people who he has encountered. Now, I don't usually throw out the Greek language that many people do. I don't know, maybe Pastor Dave does, but I don't throw out the Greek card much. But in this case, it's too good to pass up. The word compassion here in the Greek is splagnizomai. I know, it's beautiful. Splagnizomai, it sounds like a rash, doesn't it? Splagnizomai. But this is a powerful word because it is a word for compassion that's from your gut. It's not pity, it's compassion. That I care enough to do something for someone for some reason. It is a deep-seated feeling in your gut that I will make an impact and show compassion to that person way down inside. And Jesus says, deep-seated urgency and compassion to minister to these people. And why does he feel so concerned to minister to these people? Because it tells us here in this verse, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Friends, sheep without a shepherd are vulnerable. They are vulnerable. They're vulnerable to their surroundings. Which begs the question, do we have a heart of compassion? If we want to do the work of the Father, then obviously what is going to complement that is a heart of compassion. To truly be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who have lost their way. To show the compassion of Jesus who are listening to the wrong voices today. You know anyone that's listening to the wrong voices? Just raise your hand. They're all around us. They're listening to the wrong voices. They're just jumping in to the darkness of sin, living out their sin in a culture that can be so deceptive. Do we have compassion on those who talk differently, dress differently, and even speak of themselves in a different gender? Listen, I will not be compassionate about someone's sin, but I must be compassionate about someone's soul. Do you have a heart of compassion? When we see or hear of someone of another religion that does not embrace the scriptures as we do, do we look at them with scorn and contempt, or do we see them as sheep without a shepherd? Is there a place in our heart to show compassion? Like Jesus, are we ministering to those who are walking in darkness so that they will experience the life-transforming power of Christ? I want to show you a picture here. This was taken in February when we were in Thailand. Let me give you a little background. We were training pastors from Laos, pastors from Myanmar, and pastors from Thailand. The Thai culture, the Asian culture, is extremely respectful. Extremely. I mean, they are constantly, you know, doing this. They are just so hospitable, so friendly, and so respectful. And so we had outlines that we were giving out during the training. And I walked up to a 93-year-old woman. You will see her with the hat on in this photo, with the mask on. And she did this. No smile. No respect. Stuck her hand out as if to say, I don't want your outline. I even went back to the other pastors that were with us and I said, now that's odd because you just do not see that. Over the course of the training during that week, we found out that older woman is a witch doctor in her village. She is very familiar with the power of darkness. She had ropes on her arms. In her home are all these talisman and demonic images that she had. And she's sitting in our training. And her daughter came as well. And on Tuesday, the daughter realized she had never put her trust in Christ. She said, I am here for a training because I know about Jesus, but I don't know him personally. And her daughter receives Christ during a training. And we are rejoicing. All of us are rejoicing, but one. Her mom, 93 years old. She has nothing to do with it. Wednesday, Thursday. We end our training on Thursday. We say goodbye to everybody. It's a sad time because we've gotten very close. On Sunday, I preach at a church, and this woman walks in. She is completely different. She is smiling. She is hugging. Her countenance is completely changed, and I found out she couldn't push it down anymore. And on Friday, she put her trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And on Sunday morning, we brought her up, and people prayed around her. And when we said amen, she had such a, she is so cute. This older lady, 93 years old, I just want to squeeze her. But I wanted to squeeze her earlier in the week in a different way. That picture right there, we are about ready to give her communion for the first time. Explaining communion to her. She has 14 children. I said, I am told that all of your children know Jesus. And she said, not all of them yet. In that short amount of time, she realized many of her children. She said, I came to the training. She said, I know the power of darkness. But she said, I saw the power of light. I sense the Spirit of God working, not of Satan, but of Jesus Christ. And she said, I know the power of darkness. I want the power of light. She came to know the Lord. She was so afraid to go back to her house. She cut all of her ropes off. One of her sons went back to the house and cleaned out her entire house. And today, that woman is living for Jesus Christ. Amen. So thankful for that. But she said it was the compassion and love that we showed her that caused her to turn to Jesus Christ. Are you doing the work of the Father? Are you showing compassion? Let's not forget that at one time, we were all lost sheep without a shepherd. And God had compassion on us, not because we were such great sheep, but because of his great grace and his great mercy. Amen? The third thing that we see is the opportunities before us as his disciples. The opportunity is always before us. If you call yourself a Christ follower today, this is an opportunity. The opportunity is before us as his disciples. Verses 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Matthew seems to switch from this sheep metaphor to a harvest or a farming metaphor. I know nothing about farming, but I do have a farmer's tan. And Jesus says, there is something important that we need to know, and it's called the harvest. Would you say the harvest with me? The harvest. You probably have heard this many times. But are we doing the work of the Father? Are we going out into the harvest? Well, there's a few things that Jesus tells us about the harvest. Number one, the harvest is abundant. It is plentiful. Jesus is referring to lost people as the harvest. There is so much work to be done. There is a vast opportunity before us. And this should not overwhelm us as believers in Christ, but it should challenge us to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. The harvest is abundant. How many of you know of someone that is a part of the harvest right now and they don't know Jesus? See, there's a massive harvest all over this world that he is calling us to be a part of, to go and to share with someone who is lost. Remember the person that led you to the Lord? Remember the person that introduced you to Jesus? Dale Archer was the guy that led me to the Lord at the age of 10 at Camp Caro in Ravenna, Ohio. And I've never been the same. And any bad day with Christ is far better than any day, good day without him. The harvest. I was a part of the harvest at the age of 10. And when I came to know the Lord, now I have the opportunity to go into the harvest and share the good news of Christ. Because we see there is a problem. And here's the problem. There's a shortage of workers. There's a shortage of workers actually going out and gathering the harvest of lost souls. Going out to where the harvest is. Are you doing that? Are you going out to where the harvest is? Personally, it's so easy to just stay in here. It's so easy to just fellowship with people and all have a common bond, a one accord. And yet Jesus said he did not call us to sit. He called us to go. And that may mean going to somebody that has yet to experience the love of Jesus. We're talking about the harvest of souls. The task is daunting and will be accomplished at a snail's pace if we have few laborers. There is a lot of work for only a few workers to do. Here's my take on this. I could be wrong, but I believe there are plenty of people that are available to go into the harvest. I think there are so many, but I think there are many that are not going. There are many that have been so focused on something else that one day we will have a life of regret. And so let me ask you the question this morning, church. Have you found yourself burdened for the harvest? I never want to guilt anybody into why aren't you out there and what's wrong with you and, you know, well, why? I just want to throw that out there. If you're a follower of Jesus, is there something within you that says, I want to be doing the work of the Father, I want to have a compassion for the souls of others, and I want, as a follower of Christ, to be going out into the harvest because it's abundant, but there's a shortage of workers. Are you part of the harvest sitting here? Do you know Jesus? Or are you going out into the harvest to the work that needs to be done? Somewhere we have lost our focus of why we're here and what we are to be doing for the glory of God. Friends, there is still corn on the cob, and there is still grapes on the vine, and there's still fruit in the trees, and there are still souls that need saved. This involves us as workers going out into the harvest every day with a bringing in a harvest mentality. We're also told to be praying for more laborers. Now think about it. Jesus asked his disciples to pray that more laborers would come. 2,000 years have gone by, and our prayers have been answered. You have come to know the Lord in that time. The disciples prayed, and you came to know the Lord so that you can be a part of bringing in the harvest. So let's not just pray for workers today to go out in the harvest, but let's also be mindful that we may be the answer to our own prayer. The prayer that the disciples made some 2,000 years ago, you're the answer of that. You're the answer to those prayers, that you are a part of going out into the harvest. And we see also, as his children, we are recipients of his calling. Again, he has called you to move, to go out, to embrace the opportunities. He has commissioned you, marching orders. How many of you here served in the military? Just raise your hand. Anyone in here serving in the military? There is a marching order that you get when you are in the military. You are committed to it. The Lord of the harvest has called and commissioned us for his harvest field. It comes back to the saying, if not you, then who? If not here, then where? If not now, then when? And when all is said and done, friends, when all is said and done, we have to ask ourselves, was just more said or was more done? Because we live in a time where Christians are saying a lot, but they're doing little. And may that not be said about Bridge Bible Church. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I have a short video I want to show you. This was in Guatemala in May. We got up at 4:30 in the morning to drive 4 hours into a Guatemala jungle where there were 50 pastors that gathered. Again, some of them walking 2 to 3 hours to get there for training. And God used us in a mighty way. Take a moment and watch this. There are missed opportunities. And then there are opportunities you don't want to miss. May you be motivated and encouraged today. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Our time is gone, but quickly, I wanted to share 3 stories from the road, but you have to just invite me in for another time. Even the smallest of opportunities can have a ripple effect on the lives of many. Opportunities we have a way of redirecting our lives. And the risk of stepping out far outweighs the regrets of remaining the same. Can I just take 2 minutes and share one of the stories? See this picture here? This man's name is Sareth. 5 years ago, he was studying to be a Buddhist monk in Cambodia. High population of Buddhist monks. And he had so many questions regarding truth. He would go to all of his Buddhist buddies, I guess we could call them, and they couldn't answer the questions. He went higher up and higher up to other Buddhists, went to the Buddhist festivals and traditions and studying, and he had all these questions about truth that no one could answer. And one day he's in the marketplace, and a stranger walks up to him and hands him a Bible and says, "Friend, this will answer your questions on truth." Total stranger. He looks down, sees that it's a Bible, just for a second, looks up to say thank you, and the man is gone. He said, "I started to read through the Gospel of John. And when I got to John 14:6, it reads, and Jesus said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" And he said, "I put my trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin." Today, he is a pastor. Today, he takes care of 15 orphan children. He said, "But you know what I love more than anything else?" He said, "When I'm in my car and I'm driving along and I see a Buddhist walking on the road in their orange sash," he said, "I always pull over and I say, 'Brother, come sit. Come get in my car. I will take you where you need to go. And I will ask them the very questions that I was asking.' And he said, 'I will share the gospel with them.' And many of them have come to know Jesus Christ." The opportunities are available to us. We don't have to go to Cambodia. We don't have to go to Nicaragua or Honduras. Maybe the opportunity right now, if every single one of us would share just once a week the gospel with someone, 10,400 people in your area would have heard about Jesus. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.